Lord tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Welcome to the Word in Motion with Pastor Chuck Kane from Calvary Chapel of St. Clair County. Now let's get into our study with Pastor Chuck.
The great message of good news, you know, why do you think he would come with fear and much trembling? I wonder if it's not the torment he got from this messenger of Satan. This is just my speculation, you know, because like I said, Paul didn't give us a lot of details. All we know is it was a messenger from Satan, whether it was a physical problem in his life or just lies that were poured into his mind, you know, consistently as he's trying to serve the Lord. But I notice that Paul did have fear in his life, and he had it so much so that he was trembling. Have you ever been so afraid that you maybe start to shake a little bit, you know? Yeah, well, Paul said that's how he was when he came to these people the first time with the gospel, and people got saved. So I'm trying to picture this, okay, in the life of Paul. I mean, we saw the early church. They prayed for boldness. God gave them boldness. They went out there and saw amazing things happen. So here's Paul. I'm sure he can pray for boldness, you know. So here's Paul. He's praying and saying, Lord, please give me boldness and take away this fear, you know. So when I go to this new place, I'm not constantly thinking about what's bad going to happen when I get there, you know. And the Lord is saying, no, not going to do that, Paul. You need that to keep you humble, to keep you from being conceited, from getting the big head. You need that in your life. So guess what? Now this is where it gets real scary because we bring it closer to home. When you and I have opportunity to step out and talk to somebody about Jesus, and we're overcome by that fear, it very well could be that God's allowing that fear there so we don't get conceited and think we're the next Billy Graham or something, you know? That somebody gets saved and we go, whoa, I got it, man. I got the touch. I can just touch people and they fall over and get saved or something, you know? It could be that God's allowing it for that reason, okay? I don't know. I'm just thinking this through of how the Lord is doing things with us. Because I know, I tell you what, everybody I've talked to who does witnessing, they have fear. They don't run out there and say, we're just going to bowl them over kind of a thing, and no fear kind of a thing. The people I've talked to, when they said I've talked to folks about Jesus, every time I've got that fear to start with. And I'm the same way. When I'm speaking to people about Jesus, I start out with the fear. And what I've found is you just keep going past the fear. You just keep going, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit takes over. And then you don't have to worry because stuff's going, it's flowing, and stuff's coming out that you didn't even prepare to say or plan to say. You know, so I'm trying to encourage you, I think, as Paul was trying to encourage them, that when things are in your life that you don't want to be there, you wish God would take away, the Lord is saying, no, you need this in your life. I don't like being afraid when I witness. I wish that were totally out of my mind. I weren't even thinking those things, you know, and not even thinking thoughts like, these people don't want to hear this anyway, you know, so why are you telling them? Just be quiet and go do something else, you know. All those thoughts that come, they are from the enemy, and they're there for a reason. The Lord allows that for a reason. So we don't run around and think we're really somebody that can lead people to Jesus and maybe someday say, well, I can save you. Yeah, I'll tell you about Jesus, but I can actually save you. You know, so we don't get to that point. So the Lord allows us to have these things in our life. Now, let's go back to our passage in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, because the Lord explains some more about this, okay? Verse 8, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay? Now, there's a couple of things here, all right? Why did Paul have this issue in his life, this weakness in his life that he couldn't get past, that God wasn't going to take away for him? It was so he didn't become conceited, and it was so he could have the power of God in his life. Now think about this. If we were able to sit down and talk to Paul face to face over a cup of coffee or something, and we'd ask him, Paul, you've got this problem, okay, this messenger of Satan, and you also have the power of God in your life. Would you be willing to say, I don't want that messenger of Satan to also see the power of God leave in your life? And I'm sure Paul would say, no way. If that's what it takes to have the power, then I'll take that too. All right? Now, let me ask you something, okay? As we're digging into this passage and we're chewing on this and asking the Lord to open our hearts to see this and understand it, have you ever heard this before from one of those TV evangelists, okay? I don't know, because I don't watch them a whole bunch, but the times I watched them, I don't hear anything like this come from them, because they're always trying to make it look like we're the guys on top, we're tough, we have no fear, you know, and if you got fear, you get a problem, and all this kind of stuff. We need to read the scriptures carefully. You know, the Lord knows you and me. He knows what's going on in our life. He knows our weaknesses that we have. And the Lord's showing us here, a lot of times those weaknesses are for His glory. You know, if we have a weakness that's not going to leave, it's so God can get glory from our life. You know, I think of Johnny Erickson Tata. She's in a wheelchair and has been for years, you know, and in her weakness, she can't do anything for herself. She can't even get herself a cup of water. She has to rely on other people to take care of her in all of her needs, and how humbling that must be, that you can't do anything for yourself. And yet, that lady has such a powerful testimony about Jesus. Can you imagine this lady who would come in the room here in a wheelchair, not able to move? You know, she's got some kind of control. I guess she can move the wheelchair, so you got to get out of her way. But still, when she comes into the room, they said she just lights up the place. She got such a love for the Lord, it just comes out of her, you know. And she admitted herself, she said, you know, people wouldn't listen to me if I was walking around and hadn't had this accident in my life and been in this wheelchair. Nobody'd listen to me. They'd say, who are you, you know. But because this happened to her, and because she's a survivor for years and years by her strong faith in the Lord, people want to hear, what do you have to say? How do you do that? How do you live every day, you know? And you couldn't even say, how do you wake up and get out of bed? It's how do you wake up and have somebody get you out of bed, kind of a thing. You know, it's an unbelievable life. But the Lord says His power is made perfect in weakness. So guess what? The weak areas that you have in your life, that I have in my life, the Lord says, I can use those weak areas. If you'll let me, if you'll surrender that to me and let me work through you, I can use that. All right? So don't be too discouraged. I know you might have had your list of weaknesses and say, man, I got a bunch of those things. Guess what? God can use you a bunch. Okay? If you got a lot of weaknesses, from what we see here, God can use you a whole bunch in those areas. So he goes on. Now look at something that I see very interesting. As he said, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Now, what I see is really interesting here is Paul has had a change of attitude toward the thorn in his life. Before, he was saying, I plead with God, get this out of my life. I don't like this. It's uncomfortable. Get this devil out of here, this tormentor from Satan. I don't want him in my life. And now he says, you know what? If that's what it takes for me to see the power of God in my life, then I will more gladly tell people about my weaknesses. And that's amazing. I think maybe that's why he told us in 1 Corinthians 2, I came to you and I was shaken, man, when I came to you with the gospel. I was scared, okay? Because that's his weakness. And through that weakness, look what happened. A church was formed. Who'd have figured, you know? I see it's interesting too, you know, we get guys and we train them for ministry a lot of times, and if we don't put in the aspect of your servant, because there are a lot of seminaries out there that tell people you're not the servant, you're the boss, man. When you go out there in the mission field, when you get out there in the pastorate, you are the boss, you know, and they pump that into them. And I'm thinking, man, they're going to have a hard fall, you know, when they get out there and they know they got this weakness in their life, but they can't let it be known. Because that would be failure for them, you know. And yet the Lord says, hey, if you got a weakness, that's just an area for me to work. So don't be discouraged by that weakness. But Paul had a change in the way he saw that. His attitude changed. He said, I'll boast about that weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Wow. Does it make you wonder how many times we have run away from God's power? Because we don't like that place of weakness, that place of being uncomfortable. When all the time the Lord was saying, I was trying to use that in your life. Don't run from that. Allow me to use that. Goes on to verse 10. He says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he's saying he's strong in Christ. So the question we ask is, what weaknesses are in your life that you wish right now the Lord would take away? But maybe it's there because God wants to keep you humble and he wants to use you powerfully. Those sounds almost like opposites, don't they? And yet it's because God wants to use you powerfully, but he doesn't want you to take the glory from him. Because he's the one who did the work. He wants the glory for that, and rightly so. We are the same way. If we do something, we kind of like to get the credit for doing that. So he said, for Christ's sake, I delight in those things. Now, read behind the lines a little bit in that list that Paul gave us. He said, I delight in weaknesses and I delight in insults. Now, why is he having to defend himself here? Because he's been insulted. These people have put him down. They have said bad things about him. But Paul knows, even in that, and he's probably saying, you know, there's a lot of things you could criticize me for, because I'm a sinner. You know, you read Romans chapter 7, and Paul admits, I'm a sinner, man. Sometimes I do stuff I don't want to do. I just can't get past some things sometimes. And through all of this, he is saying, you know, if you want to insult me, bring it on. Because I know as you point bad things out about me, God's going to get the glory. Okay? You know, so whatever weakness we might have, persecution, Paul said, I don't mind those things because God gets glorified. Difficulties, tough times, I don't mind them because God gets glorified. Now, that whole list, how many of us enjoy any of those things? Bah, we don't like any of them. You know, we like things just nice and easy and a nice, easy keel all the time. Lord, keep us on that nice little slow roller coaster, you know. Nothing too wild, but we'd like to have some fun. And Lord says, you know, sometimes I'm going to have to take you places that you really aren't going to like. You know, they're going to be pretty rough spots. But realize, when we are weak, God is strong. And you know what? I'd be glad to say I am strong in Christ. The trouble is with us, we'd like to say I'm strong in Christ in the areas I want to be strong in Christ, you know, rather than the areas the Lord says you are strong. I found this before. Maybe you've discovered this too. There are times that the Lord uses us when we don't even notice. We're kind of looking the other way. I know I was over in St. Louis when I was teaching at the school there, and one of the students came up one time and said, man, you really encouraged me last week. And my first thought was, well, I'm glad that was a good teaching. You know, you got something out of it. He said, no, it was when I was walking out the door and you patted me in the back and said, Lord bless you, man. He said, that's what encouraged him. He needed that, you know, in his life, and I didn't know that. And here the Lord was using that incident to really encourage this guy, strengthen him, blessing him, and I didn't even, it wasn't anything to me. I was just, you know, saying, hey, Lord bless you, man, go do your thing, whatever. So a lot of times the Lord uses us when we're not looking, and it's because that same thing, an area that we might not see as our strong point, and God's using it. Because he's getting glory from it. Let's go a little further in verse 11. He said, I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you. For I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. And these guys he's referring to as super apostles or the eminent apostles, whatever your translation says. These are the false guys who have come into the church and bolstered themselves up to make them look really important and really tough. You know, some of these guys you might see on TV, you know, some of these big, fancy, expensive ministries that are waving in front of you there. He said, I'm not inferior to any of those guys, even though I am nothing. What a humble attitude Paul had. He said, even though I am nothing. He's not inferior to those guys, excuse me. But the really sad note I see in here is when Paul said, I ought to have been commended by you. These people should have stood up for Paul. Can you imagine somebody comes and starts a work and here's the church that's growing and they see the power of God working in their midst when we see all the gifting and things that were going on at the Corinthian church. And somebody comes into that church and you say, how'd you guys get started anyway? The Apostle Paul, man, he came and the Lord just worked through him in a powerful way and all this. And after a little while, when these false guys come in and say, man, Paul's a wreck. Didn't you notice? He doesn't speak very well and all the other things they criticized him with, you know. He's not very powerful, short guy, pretty weak looking. You know, he's really not close to the Lord, obviously. He doesn't look very successful. He doesn't have a good suit. You know, I mean, what's the deal with that? So when you look at all that stuff that they were saying about Paul, and here they should have been standing up for him and saying, wait a minute. He came here, and yeah, he came real humble, and no, he wasn't a great speaker, but man, the power of God worked through him. And look what happened. We got changed lives. We got away from all that junk we were in. The stuff that was killing us and we didn't know it. God rescued us from that. They should have stood up for Paul, but apparently they were believing everything they heard. You know, we saw earlier in the same letter, he said, they even brought a different Jesus to you. And you said, amen, man, we like this guy. You know? So there are other Jesuses that are even preached. And they didn't accept it. They accepted it pretty easily. So it goes on then, verse 12. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. I want us to notice something here, because a lot of times we only read part of that verse, I think. What were the signs of an apostle? He said they were signs, wonders, and miracles. So when you had a guy come to your church saying that he was Peter, okay, the apostle Peter, how would you know if it's him or not? I mean, they didn't have newspapers and photographs like we're used to seeing all over, so how would you know? Well, he could tell you some stories, and they might be true, they might not be true. Apparently some of these guys are really slick. So the way you would know was they did signs and wonders and miracles. And I think the Lord gifted them in that powerful way that they might have evidence that this really is the real thing. And today still, the Lord does miracles when that's the miracle that's needed. Okay? But here we have these guys that he said, I was an apostle, I had the signs, wonders, and miracles. But I don't know that we read the last part of that verse where he said they were done with great perseverance. And what he was saying was, I was consistent. I hung in there with you guys. You know, we did the signs, wonders, and miracles, but we were consistent. We stayed with that. We were persevering. We didn't give up. We just kept going. Now, we notice sometimes these false teachers, when do they show up? When things are going well. When everything's a success, and they can step into the success, they think, you know. They don't come in when things are tough, and they have to hang in there through all the tough stuff that's going on. They just want to be there for the good times, you know. So Paul said, I did all those things, but I did them with great perseverance. I endured a lot of stuff to get this across, to see God work in your life. I kept in there, and I hung in there. I didn't give up. It goes on to verse 13. How were you inferior to the other churches? So of other churches that Paul began, Paul worked at, and he got to see get going, he said, how were you guys any less than other churches I was at? And he tells them. He said, except that I was never a burden to you. Forgive me this wrong. So when Paul was at other churches and he had needs, physical needs, he would tell the people. And that makes sense. You could see Paul come in and say, hey guys, do you mind if I got a meal from you and a place to stay tonight? You know, because I don't have anything. I'm kind of hungry right now. And he would do that with other churches. But when he came to the church at Corinth, his discernment was, don't give them any chance to say I'm trying to get anything from them. So if he had needs, we saw earlier in the same letter, he said, I didn't tell you guys about them. So he might have been hungry. He might not have had a place to stay for the night, but he didn't tell anybody about it. Because he said, I don't want to take anything away from the testimony that I'm here to give you the gospel. I'm not here to get. I'm here to give. Okay? So it wasn't a quick, fancy show that he put on when he came into this place. He persevered with them. He hung in there with the people, and he wasn't taking anything from them. Now, look at verse 14. He says, now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. I think Paul had to say this, and this is the Lord obviously working through him and laying this out ahead of time before he gets there. Because I could just see somebody reading this letter, hearing it read in church from Paul for the first time, and if he didn't make this statement, they'd say, look what he's doing, guys. He's putting a guilt trip on you. He's telling you what all he suffered for the Lord and all this stuff. So when he comes, man, you better get ready, because he's going to stick his hand deep in your pocket. He's going to be after that pocketbook and get everything he can. And Paul says very clearly here, he says, when I come, I'm not going to be a burden to you. So is he going to ask for a place to stay? No. Is he going to ask for a meal? No. You're not going to hear that from him. He said, I don't want your possessions. I want you. He's after their soul. He wants them to be presented, as he said earlier, as a pure virgin to Christ. He wants to be able to say, Jesus, I did my best with these people to help them grow in you, help them to find you in the first place, and I want to present them to you as people that are walking in your light, walking close to you. I'm interested in you. I don't care about your possessions. Then he goes on, after all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Now think of this picture he's just shown us. He is saying, and he tells us earlier, he's the one who founded this church and got it started. So he sees himself as a parent and those as his spiritual children. And he said, practically speaking, look at this. The kids don't take care of the parent. The parent takes care of the kids. Now, I want to shock us a little bit with this again. How many times do you hear that in churches, you know, where the leadership says, it's our job to take care of you guys. Whatever we can do, it's our job to take care of you. Not to say we're going to pass the plate again today because you didn't give enough in the offering, so we're going to keep passing that plate until we get the money, kind of a thing, you know? No. He says, I'm the parent, you're the child, and he goes on to verse 15, so I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. He says, if you need some money, if I got it, I'll give it to you if that's what you need. And he says, I'll even give you myself. What do you need done? What can I do for you? Whatever you need for my life, I will give to you. Now, this is something I get from here. Ministry, if it's done right, is costly. We're not to fleece the flock, we're to feed the flock. You know, we're to take care of them. So the Lord here gives us an important lesson for us serving anybody, you know, that we see ourselves as the one who takes care of them, not as them who takes care of us. Boy, this is a shocker because, again, you don't hear this too much. Usually you hear on some of those big fancy ministries, keep sending in that money, you know. God's going to bless you, man. Just keep sending us your money and God's going to bless you. This is exactly opposite from what you're hearing. Can you imagine if those ministries with all their wealth, all their, you know, their jets they have and all these kind of things get up there and say, you know what, folks, we're going to sell everything. We're going to just get rid of our assets because some of you have some really deep needs in your life and we're going to help you. Just send us a letter. Tell us what kind of needs you have and we're going to supply your needs. Wow. Wouldn't that be an eye-opener? And yet, this is what Paul's talking about. He said, when I come, man, I'm the parent. You're the child. I'm supposed to take care of you. Wow, that's a little different, isn't it? It goes on here, and he says, if I love you more, will you love me less? And that's got to be a heartbreaker for Paul, because he's been loving these people a whole bunch, and they don't even stand up for him when he's not there. But he said, if I love you more, will you love me less? He said, be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Yet crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. And I'm sure he's throwing out some of the names he's been called, saying, yeah, look how tricky I was, you know. And then he goes on and says, did I exploit you through any of the men I sent to you? He said, I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not act in the same spirit and follow the same course? So no one that came from Paul took advantage of him. No one went and took, you know, extra offerings or anything like that. That wasn't what they were into. So he said, boy, I was tricky, wasn't I? I was crafty. I fooled you guys. I slipped these guys in there and we didn't take anything from you. I thought he's using a little sarcasm and humor here, you know, like, yeah, that's right. Paul didn't do that. You know, as they stop and think about it, they say, did you give anything to Paul? No, I didn't either. You know, what about Titus and those guys? No, didn't give them nothing either. Did they ask for anything? No, come to think of it, they didn't. So I guess they were doing okay. You know, and Paul said, no, we just didn't want to bother you guys because you'd hold that against us. Verse 19. Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. Now, this is really amazing to me because as Paul has been defending himself and looking like I'm just trying to make myself look good in front of you guys, he said, we have been doing this in the sight of God, and we've been doing it as those who are in Christ. So Paul's letting us know that everything he said here, he checked out with God first. He said, I've been talking in the sight of God. I've not been talking as, God, turn your head for a minute. I got to go talk to these people. And I really got to tell them, you know, I'm a great guy. No, he says, God has been in this whole thing as I've been talking to you. And the goal for him is to keep the focus on Christ. Because he said, I'm speaking as those who are in Christ. And he says, if you see anything, all I want you to see is that I'm a Christian. That's what I want you to see. And he says, everything we do, not everything I've already done, but everything we do continually, okay, is for your strengthening. So Paul is saying, my ministry is to serve you and to strengthen you. It's not to line my pockets. It's not to put me in the limelight. It's not for me to write books, be on television shows, and look at Paul kind of a stuff. None of that. He said, our whole goal is to strengthen you. And that's the purpose. So one thing I get from this, you know, we can give testimonies for a couple different ways. We can give testimonies to make ourselves look good. Or we can give testimonies of what God's done in our life to try to encourage somebody and to build somebody else up. Okay? So there's a thought for us to keep in our mind as we get a chance to tell people about the Lord and check ourselves, you know. Am I getting in the way of God's glory? As I've told somebody about what Jesus did in my life, is that for people to see God or for people to see me? And that's the simple way for us to check that. And I'll tell you, there's temptation out there, you know. I mean, there are times when the Lord shows me something, and I'm just so thrilled to be able to say, hey, the Lord showed me this. You know, like, I'm the guy too. You know, God talked to him and he talked to me too, kind of a thing. Rather than just trying to say, Lord, you showed me that, and if you want me to share it, then open the door for me to share it and encourage that person. Don't let them look at me. Have them look at you. Okay? So maybe there have been times like that. Maybe you've got a weakness in your life that the Lord has allowed to be there to help you stay where you're at, to stay humble. And that's an uncomfortable place for us. We don't like that place of humility. We'd rather be in the place of pride, you know, but the Lord knows what's best for us. So we're going to stop at this point today, and we'll pick up with the next thought as it goes further in the next passage. Lord willing, next week we'll be able to get into that further. But as we go to prayer right now, I just want you to check yourself out with the Lord, and we can ask ourselves, what kind of testimonies have I been given? Okay, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. And Lord, you challenge us. Thank you, Lord, for putting the brakes on here and letting us dive into the passage and chew on it some, Lord, because we see that you want to work in our life. And we see that right now you may be doing things and we didn't see it as you, Lord. We thought it was just the devil messing with us and we didn't know, Lord, that you're allowing it for a purpose and a reason. Father, someone is here today and they're struggling. And they just don't know which way to go, Lord. I pray today you would speak to their heart, that you would draw them to yourself, Lord. If they've not received Christ today, Lord, help them to find Jesus. We know that's the safest place to be in this world is in Christ. And Father, for those of us who may have troubles in our life that we were mad about and blaming you for and everything, I pray today we'd change our attitude and say, Lord, you're allowing it for your purpose because we need it. Father, I lift the people up here to you. I pray you'd strengthen and encourage them in you, Lord, and we give you the praise for what you're doing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today at The Word in Motion. If you would like to hear more studies from Pastor Chuck or get information about our ministry, you can go online to thewordinmotion.org. Or if you'd like to drop us a line, you can write us at The Word in Motion, 1827 Robb Avenue, Belleville, Illinois, 62226. Don't forget to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When I talk, I speak your truth, my voice will